Good evening. I would like to call today's meeting of the City of Baker School Board to order. If there is a member of the public who would like to make a public comment regarding a particular agenda item, we ask that you request a comment card from Ms. Dito, who is seated to my right, and submit your comment to her with the agenda item noted on the comment card. Please be mindful that you will be allowed 3 minutes for each comment in order to give everyone who would like to make a comment an opportunity to do so. I would like to go to roll call right now. Mrs. Perkins?
Here.
Ms. Prophet? Absent. Mrs. Joseph?
Here.
Ms. Butler?
Here.
And Mrs. Burgess? Present. The floor is now open for a motion to amend the agenda so that we may approve the agenda. The floor is now open for a motion to amend the agenda so that we may approve the agenda.
I motion that we approve the agenda.
Is there a second for the motion? Excuse me?
Ms. Joseph says.
Excuse me? Would you ask him to have a seat with you, ma'am? Okay. Thank you. Just so he won't hurt himself. I understand. I understand. Okay. We had a second motion by Ms. Butler and a second by Mrs. Joseph. Are there any public comment on the motion to amend the agenda? We have a roll call. Ms. Perkins?
Yes.
Ms. Prophet absent. Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess? The motion passes. Yes. The motion passes. Yes for Joyce Burgess for the vote. The motion passes. Next, we would like to accept the motion to approve the agenda for tonight. We're actually approving the agenda for tonight. Is there a motion to approve the agenda for tonight?
I motion that we approve the agenda for tonight.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. The motion has been passed. The motion has been recommended by Ms. Butler and second by Mrs. Joseph. Are there any public comment? Are there any public comments on the approval of the agenda? Okay, we're ready for the roll call. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet, absent. Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
Ms. Burgess? Yes. The motion passes. I would like to roll call for tonight. I would like to introduce, rather, Mr. Michael Adams, sitting to my left. He's in partnership with the DeQueer and Clark and Adams law firm. So, welcome tonight. I would like to make a welcome to all of our visitors. We would like to have a silent meditation or an open prayer by Joyce Burgess and Pledge of Allegiance by Mrs. Perkins. Would you please stand with me? Bow your heads, please. Dear God, we thank you for this day. Father, we want you to know how much we love you and how much we depend upon you. We are nothing without you, Father. I pray that this meeting will go according to your plan, God. And I pray that you give us all wisdom, Father, each board member, that you bring us together as a collective body to do what we need to do for the lives of our faculty, our children, our staff, our teachers, our principals, and our community. We give you honor and we give you glory that you watch over us tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting tonight. We are so excited that we have such a full room, a full crowd, everybody, stakeholders, investors, faculty, children. We are so excited that you're here, and we welcome your comments, and we ask for your prayers as we lead the City of Baker School System. Recognition, high school FAFSA. Recognition?
Yes, I'm going to turn this over to Dr. Smothers.
Okay.
Good evening, Madam President, Madam Vice President, to our board members, our acting superintendent, Mr. James T. Schroeder, and to all of those that are in attendance tonight. I am here to celebrate the great work. We are all here to celebrate the great work of our high school, led by Dr. Candace Russell, and the work that they've done to complete financial aid applications with their seniors. So with that, today we're going to celebrate the leadership of our high school principal, Dr. Candace Russell, and all of the hard work of our dedicated school counselor, Ms. Amy Moore, and our senior advisor, Mr. Roland Stewart, in supporting students and families in the completion of financial aid applications. With the FAFSA completion, students number one met their one of their graduation requirements, but most importantly, have opportunities to qualify for federal financial aid by way of Pell Grants, work studies, in the work studies or any other support scholarships that will make available to them so that they can pursue those career opportunities, those career goals or college goals. So that's the financial support that they will be open to and have the opportunities for. Now, we are even more excited about this is because the City of Baker School System is recognized on the Louisiana Office of Student Financial Assistance website as making the most progress during the months of February and March. So we are super excited about the work that they are doing and the leadership of Dr. Russell with her team. And, you know, ultimately, this is going to be great for our students, and this is just, you know, opening up that pathway for them to continue to push for those opportunities that are not just financially aid supported, but opportunities within the colleges so they know exactly what they can do and believe that they can get it done. So with that, we do have a little bit more work to do, but we are destined to make our goals by the time our seniors, of course, are graduating. We want to make sure that they're meeting every mark for graduation. So we're excited about that. And I do want to share, in addition to that, so usually during the fall semester, we have FAFSA night, right? And so I would like to thank at this time Ms. Candace Bailey as well as Mrs. McLean, who also worked to make sure that those students, after they have completed their FAFSA application, they get their T-shirt and they get to sport it, you know, at school or at home. So it's great to show that our students are thriving and doing a great job. But we also appreciate the work of the district office and how they support students at the high school as well. So without further ado, I would like to ask Dr. Russell to come on up, please. And we have a certificate of excellence for her to take back to the school in representing her leadership with her team and working with students and families for FAFSA completion.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Smothers, and congratulations again, Dr. Russell. What a good news, great news, and how many of you know we can use some good news in our community? All right, we have agenda items, information items. There will be no public comment during these items. The items include Acting Superintendent's report on personnel, Baker High School construction updates, and I know we're all excited about our school being built and just the good things that's happening there. Campus security improvements, comparison of surrounding districts' pay schedules, restructuring of campuses, student handbook, policy review, A-1, school board legal status, A-2, school district legal status, and A-3, authority. Acting Superintendent Stroder.
So the current superintendent report on personnel also includes last month's. If you remember, we did not approve last month.
Right.
So that's 2 months worth of recommendations.
2 months. Okay.
So that's just for your information. On the construction updates, we met with the construction team on April 13th, correct? And just kind of got an update on where we are with the construction project. We did learn that as part of that, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, I'll let you guys introduce yourselves in a moment, but there are several items that were not included or were value engineered out that we have to actually take a look at putting back in. One is the intercom system. There wasn't an intercom system that was included or it was engineered out. A second was the phone system. A third was the technology infrastructure, so you know what we're going to do to set up wireless, what we're going to do for server there, and in addition there's going to be some security updates that I'll talk about under the security. But I think at this time I'm going to introduce the construction team and I'll let them introduce themselves to you. You have a handout from them on a current updated timeline. I have included the timeline that we received, I believe it was last summer, and so they'll talk to you if there's any changes in that timeline. So, gentlemen, go ahead.
Moving forward, there will be a condensed update on our website where anybody can go to it and just see some of the updates that's happening here.
Good evening. My name is Ryan Bertucci. I'm with Manning. We're the architects on the project.
And I'm Jason Catlin. I'm the project manager for Stewart & Company, building the project.
Mr. Stroder asked us to come and just give a brief update on the project. Currently, the project is underway. If you pass, you see the job. You see the job fence around the whole thing. There's been some progress in the last couple months of removing some of the old buildings, getting those down, getting the abatement done for those parts of the campus, and getting the foundations for the new part of campus, along with renovation of what is considered Building A, but the original part of campus that we're renovating and bringing back as part of the overall campus master plan. As far as construction updates in the last couple weeks, I'll let Jason speak more to that.
Yeah, you'll see as you pass by now, we've gotten the first part of the building. So the new building is split into three sections. The first part, we've got the dirt up to grade, and you'll see a lot of steel going in as far as re-steel. And then within, depending on weather, I'll say 8 weeks, you'll see a slab poured. Now, that's only a third of the building. That's a 35,000-square-foot building, so it's going to be poured in thirds. Currently, the construction schedule puts us completing it at the end of April 23. So that gives the school system plenty of time to get ready for the fall semester of 23. The driving factor to this point has basically been demolition and weather. Now that we have good weather, we've been moving forward, working 5 to 6 days a week to try to make sure we stay on pace for that April next year.
Yeah,
24.
Things happen quick.
Yeah, that's right.
There was one other item that I wanted to mention that we discovered when we had our meeting, and that was the auditorium was not included as part of that project, correct?
Correct. Auditorium.
And we also discovered that there was a big issue with the auditorium in the terms of bats in the auditorium, correct?
That was news to us as well, yes.
Yeah, so we actually went over and looked at the auditorium, and I think you guys will probably look at it when you do your walkthrough. But we're currently in the process, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Craig, we're currently in the process of collecting some bids to remove the bats from the auditorium and relocate them to another location, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You gotta go.
Yes, that was an eventful surprise, I guess. So, but yeah, there's been some challenges getting out of the ground with the new part of the campus. Weather's been an issue. There's been some kind of unforeseen conditions underground, some septic tanks no one knew existed, 100 years old. So there's been some challenges that the campus has thrown at us, but we've worked with the previous administration, the current administration, to try to remediate some of those costs and the time delays to try to bring it back as close as we can to something that works for the next school year.
So it looks like initially you guys were planning on like an October 2023 of this year completion, but that you've kind of moved that back into the spring, is that correct?
Yeah, it's into the spring. That started with originally when the project bid, getting it down to a cost that was good for the school board. So that a little bit of delay there, and then yeah, getting out of the ground, the demolition of the project has brought some challenges. So renovation projects are always fun. There's always some fun surprises.
And I'm glad you mentioned, Mr. Stroder, that the school board members will do a walkthrough April 13th of the construction site. So we're looking forward to that. Yeah.
Hope for good weather and it's not raining. We can walk around anywhere we want. So.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen. All right, we're going to move on to campus security updates, if that's okay. Yes? So we found out about a Stronger Connections grant through the Louisiana Department of Education. We received word on that grant like 2 weeks ago, wasn't it, Ms. McLean, correct? Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago when we found out it was due today, I believe. That is $500,000. That's a minimum of a $500,000 grant to qualifying school districts. We are a qualifying school district, so we actually submitted a grant proposal for them on Monday. We submit that on Monday, yesterday. So we're kind of waiting to hear back from them. The purpose of that grant is to harden the school facilities. So what we're looking at is we're looking at remodeling as much as possible three of our campuses to create a single point of entry. So we're looking at remodeling Park Ridge and the current Baker High School, which is the middle school campus, and creating a single point of entry on those campuses. We have already installed metal detectors at all campuses. We have new cameras. We have 16 new cameras at the high school. We're adding five more cameras over spring break, just so we can get the coverage that we need on that campus. We're also looking at installing, with this grant, we're going to look at installing notifications on the doors that we cannot see at the front. So all doors that are entrance exit doors on the other sides of the building, we're looking at installing a notification on those doors. So if a door is breached during the day, there's a notification that will go to the office that says, there's been a back door open somewhere. In addition, with this grant, we're also looking at placing a camera at the front of the one entrance that we use during the day, just so visitors can actually buzz into the office and the office can see and communicate with them and then can actually buzz them into the school if they need to. But ultimately, we're wanting to create a single point of entry at that campus and kind of create a space where visitors can come in, they can do business with the office, but they won't have access to the entire facility. So we're looking at doing that at both Park Ridge and Baker High School. In addition, we're also looking at using this grant for cameras at Baker Heights. We're also getting a quote for cameras at the construction of Baker High School, because those were not included in the general bid, the contract bid. So we're going to look at doing the same thing that we're doing with the current Baker High School at the high school that's under construction. So we're going to look at installing the same notification on those entrance exit doors, as well as placing cameras so that we can have full coverage of that facility at all times.
Right. And I would like to also see more bodies, police security there as well. You know, not just, you know, a little while, but they're all day roaming halls.
Yeah, and we found out about another possible grant today. So we're going to look into that. I think with that one, we can also maybe look into installing, what's the correct word, visitor notification, visitor tracking systems. So if a visitor mm-hmm. comes in the building, we can scan their driver's license, get a quick background check on them, and then keep track if they have to actually enter the building.
We want to keep our students, our faculty, our staff, we want to keep everybody safe.
Any questions on that?
Board members?
Okay, comparison of salaries. We actually looked at this in our workshop that we conducted about a little over a week ago. But I actually wanted to talk about it again at the board meeting. So, and looking at how a school district functions, one of the things that you have to do as a school district is kind of compare yourself to surrounding districts. You know, the state does that with our letter grades. But in addition, I started looking at, you know, what does Baker's teacher salary look like? What do Baker's classified salaries look like, right? Bus drivers, custodians, food service workers. What does campus admin salaries look like? So basically what I'm showing you here is a comparison of Baker's salaries to the 12 districts in our region. So you can see column B is, and I'm going to show you Baker's salary schedule. So this is a typical salary schedule at a school district. It has five lanes. So it has a bachelor's lane, a master's plus 30, an ed specialist lane, and then a doctorate lane. So as you gain more experience, you move down the salary schedule with years of experience. As you increase your education, you move across to a different lane. So that's a step and lane schedule. And so I have all of the 12 districts surrounding salary schedules. And this is just a quick visual comparison of what they look like. So you can see that when you sort the 12 surrounding districts, Iberville is the highest paying district, starting their teachers out at $55,006. And Baker is second from last at $41,303. Part of what we're seeing across the state of Louisiana is there is a lack of qualified, certified folks across the state to fill all of the positions that the state has open. So that's compounded for us because those 12 surrounding districts are competing for those teachers that are certified and qualified. So one of the things that I want to take a look at is how do we make Baker more competitive with those 12 surrounding districts, because we have to do it. We're competing. We're all competing for a smaller pool of candidates. So we have to figure out how do we attract those candidates that are you know, existing and living down here in the region where we live. Lane column C is just the very middle step of the first column. So if you know, Baker has 24 steps, that's step 12. So that's the middle step of that first column. And you sort it from smallest to largest, and again, we're second from the bottom, just above St. Helena. Column D is the very last lane, very last step, this one right down here in the corner of the salary schedule. And we actually move up a spot when you look at that one. We move up to third from the bottom. And it's because when you look at the average increase from step to step, Baker actually has the highest increase average from step to step among the 12 districts. So that's what lets us pass. I think it was East Feliciana in that last step and last column. So we're currently, myself, business manager, HR, we're currently looking to see, you know, what kind of things can we do to place Baker in a more competitive spot with our teaching staff and with our classified staff so that we can draw in the folks that other districts are drawing away from us right now. What we're seeing to happen is we work to get our people certified, and then once they're certified, you know, they look a little bit north to Zachary, who's paying $50,000, and they can say, well, I can go work at Zachary and make an additional, you know, $9,000. And so we lose them. And so we're kind of stuck in that cycle of training our folks and then losing them to surrounding districts. Any questions on that?
Board members, any questions? You may proceed.
So one of the things that we're looking at as a result, you know, is what is the capacity of our current high school? High school. Am I losing mine? When we're looking at that new high school, the capacity of that high school is about, what, 500 and something, 30-something students, correct, gentlemen? And so every one of our campuses has a capacity of students that at 100%. So we're looking at our capacity to see what are we at. Are we at 70%? Are we at 50%? Are we at 40%? So we're looking to see if we can restructure some of our campuses and combine and use same facilities. What kind of savings would that create, recurring savings would that create on a yearly basis? So, you know, if you can close a campus, there's some closing that campus that will help us apply some funds towards the salary schedule that we desperately need to improve.
Question. So what are the sources of income?
For the campuses?
Or
for the district?
For the district in terms of elevating salaries.
So several things, and Ms. Stewart can probably talk more in depth about this, but we get revenue from the state, we get revenue from the feds, and we get local revenue. Those are your three main sources of revenue for a school district. She can probably tell you what the largest is. The largest is usually local revenue, followed by state and followed by federal. You want to talk about that?
Good evening. Okay, mm-hmm. So your question was what revenue sources would fund those pay raises? Mainly would be general fund. And then we also have federal funds. We have federal funds, general fund, which consists of MFP dollars, which is your and then your local revenue, which is your sales tax and your property taxes. So those are the sources of revenue that would be considered to fund those raises.
So we have that already.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But we're talking about increasing salaries.
Yes, ma'am. In order to increase the salaries, we know we're getting $2,000 from the state. The legislature they're voting on that this upcoming legislature. Mm-hmm. Then we will get the step increases. So what we did, we looked at the step increases. Right now we're like at 507. So what was proposed is to have a consistent $600 a month step in, not month, a year, annual step increase across the board for teachers and administrative staff. We also looked at the classified staff, which is your bus drivers, your school food service workers, and custodians. And so we are also looking at increasing those step increases as well to make everything consistent. So we already have, you know, those revenues in place, but in order to sustain the pay raises, we have to come up with some other strategic ways of doing that.
And when you say that the legislators, just know this, each time we get a raise from the
across
legislators,
the state,
everyone
else
get
will
the
yes,
same
ma'am.
Raise. So that's not going to make us look any better.
No.
But know this, I want everybody to get a raise. That's not, I'm not against it. I'm just asking, what is it that we are going to do to raise this so we can give the teachers a sustainable raise?
Part of what we're going to look is at restructuring. So, you know, if you take my position right now, currently I'm serving as acting superintendent. I'm also serving as my former position, which is instructional supervisor. I'm also serving as a supervisor of student information systems, and I'm also serving as supervisor of student support services. And, you know, fortunately for me, I find out that I can do all of those jobs, so I don't need to replace those three positions. So that in itself is going to be probably a savings of over $250,000.
Yes, sir.
Dollars. So we're gonna be looking at things like that to not rehire some positions that we can absorb and put that money back into salaries.
Right. Okay. Any other questions? All right. Mr. Strotter, you may proceed.
Okay, so it's we actually want to get a jump start on the student handbook. We are recommending some changes to the student handbook. And if you look through the handbook, I'm going to scroll down through here, and I'm only going to go over the changes that we're recommending, which are in red. So on page 18 of the student handbook, you'll see there's some changes under student attendance. So we're going to add D. Under each school improvement team shall establish a written tardy policy unique to that school, which may include but not be limited to the procedures suggested in the following section. We're going to add a D, is when a student accumulates more than 10 unexcused absences, the student and their parents will be referred to the East Baton Rouge Juvenile Court for attendance remediation. Under 12, unexcused check-ins, we're talking about actually adding in what our current practice is. Dr. Russell implemented this practice about 2 months ago, Dr. Russell? 2 to 3 months ago. So unexcused check-ins are considered incidents of tardiness and absences in the classroom missed. The doors of the middle and high school will be locked at 7:30 a.m. Any student who checks in after 7:30 a.m. must be accompanied by a parent. Any student who checks in after 10:30 a.m. must be checked in by a parent with a note from a physician. And we've already noticed an improvement, correct?
Mm-hmm.
There's been a huge improvement at the high school just in terms of numbers of tardies on a daily basis, just from implementing those procedures a couple of months ago. On page 19, we recommended adding some language. Students and parents have the right to expect that school will be a safe place. The City of Baker School System is strengthening our policies related to discipline to make this a priority. So the perception that we want to change is that if you're going to come to school in Baker and you're going to enter our campuses, you're going to focus on academics, and you're going to focus on those next stages of your life and what you need to do to get to that next stage of your life. And if you're focused on anything other than that, you're going to find it hard to attend the Baker School District.
Yep.
All right, we're going to jump down to page 34, Major Offenses and Discipline. And this is applicable to all City of Baker School System students. So previously we had recommended consequences next to these. So in trying to give the principal some more flexibility, what we want to say is, depending on the severity of the action as determined by the principal or superintendent or his or her designee, any of the consequences, in-school suspension, out-of-school suspension, or expulsion, may be applied to offenses in this section. So we're just giving the principal some leeway there, depending on the nature of the infraction, on how they're going to address it. All right, we're going to go down to 36, and this is another big change that we're going to recommend. I have a meeting with the State Department tomorrow just to double-check, make sure we can do this. So beginning in the 2023-24 school year, the City of Baker is instituting a new fighting policy. Students who are fighting on campus will attend the school's behavior modification classroom, which is on campus, from home for 30 days. They will be required to attend the BMC through Zoom or another video platform. As long as the BMC teacher sees them on Zoom throughout the day, the student will be counted as present. If the student returns to school and a second fight occurs, the student will be required to attend the BMC from home through video conferencing for 60 days. A third fight will be for the remainder of the semester. So, you know, you don't have to pay attention to very long to know that fighting has been an issue and has been something that has been distracting that high school campus from doing the work, which is important, which is what we need to do, which is educate students. So we're looking at really cracking down on fighting consequences to see if we can put an end to that at the campus.
That's right.
I'm all for order, but make sure that's legally, that you can legally do that.
Yeah. I'll meet with the LDOE tomorrow to ask.
Yeah.
And this is just information. It'll come back as an action once we have checked all of our legal angles. Page 39, this language was changed to actually match House Bill 411, as well as Louisiana State Code, revised state code. And so we're changing it to in-school suspension, out-of-school suspension, and expulsion, because that's the language that's used in state code. So the only thing that was added under this section was what I just referred to with fighting in the BMC. So in-school suspensions are for minor offenses. The Behavior Modification Center is used for in-school suspensions. Students go to the BMC in school throughout the day. If they continue that behavior in BMC, they might have to finish their time over Zoom from home. Out-of-school suspension means that the student is removed from all classes of instruction and is off the campus for the day. And so the recommendation that we're recommending here is the student will be required to attend the BMC classroom over Zoom. Failure to attend through video conferencing will count as an unexcused absence. Any out-of-school suspension over 10 days must be determined by the superintendent or his or her designee through a hearing. And then under expulsion, expulsion is the removal of a student from all regular classes or school setting for a period of not less than one school semester or longer. And so it's going to be the same process as they can attend the BMC classroom over Zoom. And again, expulsions are only determined through a hearing.
Let me interject this, Mr. Stroder. All over Louisiana, but specifically speaking, all over our parish, we see the fighting with students, and our schools have become a war zone. We have students that are interested in learning. Like in our district, we have over 80% of our students in our high school. Those kids want to learn. And so we are here to protect our teachers and to protect those students who are very, very serious about academics. And we're just not going to tolerate anything else. So that's why, as a school board, collectively, we have had to come together and come up with some ideas. I almost have to go back to old school. You know what it was like when you were in school. And so we are just setting some things in place, and we're definitely going to make sure that these things are legal, that they're appropriate, that they're well within the boundaries to do, because education, like the quote at the top of the agenda that Mr. Schroeder put up by George Washington Carver, it says, education is the key that unlocks the golden door to freedom. And we need to show our children what true freedom is, and it's not fighting.
The next language is under page 44, just under the description of the Behavior Modification Center. And the language that we want to add is students who are suspended or expelled will be required to attend the school's BMC through video conferencing from home. Any equipment used in video conferencing from home must be returned by the student's parents for reentry into the school. I think that's all of our major changes, isn't it, Dr. Russell, Mr. Harris? Oh, no, hold on. I got another one. Yep, page 53. Cell phones. This is another big one.
It is.
Cell phones have been a disruption to the learning environment at City of Baker School System. Dr. Russell's here. She can tell you that, you know, one of the big issues with fighting is it's popular to video it during in class and then post it on social media. So no student cell phones will be allowed on campus. Cell phones will be confiscated by administration if they are in a student's possession and returned to the parent of the student. Students may use the phone in the school office to contact parents, and parents can leave a message for their students with the front office.
And again, let me just say this. As a former principal, we fought this tooth and nail. That's why I'm telling you the cell phone issue, they came away, the legislators, it's a law. A child can have a phone. You see what I'm saying? But if you can make it stick,
we're gonna try.
Make sure mm-hmm. it's legal.
Yeah. Yep.
You have parents that will go all the way to the top to fight you on it. It happened to me.
Yep. We're gonna double check.
Absolutely.
I think that's it. I think that's all the major changes.
Okay.
Did Dr. Russell, do you want to, Mr. Airsmith, want to add anything?
Any other comments by any school board members? Okay. We'll move on to the agenda. Action items. The public may comment on any action item for a limit of 3 minutes per individual.
Oh, I think we have one more information. Yes, policy review. Is that information?
You talking about, the policy review. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, policy review.
Okay.
So one of the school board's major areas of responsibility is the policies, right? Student handbook is one of our policies, which is why you're seeing the handbook and the changes to the handbook. But you also have a series of school board policies. Okay. And, you know, the purpose of those policies is to really help us as administrators, both at the district and campus levels, kind of guide our decision makings so that we can stay consistent with the decisions that we make. And so those policies are really an attempt to create consistency with the decisions that are made on a daily basis. If there's anything in policy that is a reference to state or federal code, you cannot change that. So federal code trumps state policy trumps local policy, and then local policy are things that aren't governed by state or federal policy. Mm-hmm. So I think you should actually take a look at your policies on a monthly basis. So I put three policies on here for your review. That's the first three policies of the school board, A1, A2, A3, which is board legal status, school district legal status, and authority. So I would encourage you to take a look at that. If you have any recommendations on changing anything that we can change, I would recommend, you know, get those back to me, and we'll put those on the May board meeting and review these policies again at the May board meeting.
Any comments from any school board members? Are you done, Mr. Stroder?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, we can move on. Consideration and approval of minutes from the school board meeting held March 14th, 2023. Are there any public comments regarding the approval of the minutes from school board meeting on March 14th, 2023? I'm sorry, ma'am. How do you pronounce your name? Karanda. Ms. Karanda. You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. My name is Karanda Corley. I am a proud parent and disabilities advocate nationally. This is my son, Corinth. He is a self-advocate, and he is a person with a disability. As we talk about the approval of the minutes for the school board meeting on March 14, 2023, I do not recall the interim superintendent actually being voted upon. That was something that should have actually taken place at that meeting. Instead, what you did, you appointed one. In addition to that, you removed Dr. Perry, and then you did not talk about what the superintendent search is really going to look like. You did not talk about what the contract is looking like for our interim superintendent that you have seated before us today. How long will he be in that position, etc. So I do think that instead of approving those minutes, you do need to look at actually addressing that, because you put someone in a position now that you may not actually legally be able to get out. So that is something that I do think that you need to take into consideration, because as you talked about everything that you would like to have in that superintendent or informational report, it will not get done if he's not in that seat. So you do have to make sure that you are prudent about making sure that everything that you're discussing today legally can be done by the superintendent that legally is elected. But if you did not elect this one, then you do need to address it today, and you do need to make sure that you can consult with your counsel. And if he does not have the answer today, then that is problematic, and you would need to look at getting different counsel. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any comments from any other school board member?
I have a question. Since that was brought up, I had a question for Mr. DeQuire, but he's not here, and so you'll get the question. What is the proper procedure in bringing an item to the school board to be voted upon? That's why, I guess that's what she was talking about. That was my question. If we have, let's say Mr. Stroder was... The question is, what is the proper procedure in bringing an item to the board to be voted upon for the board members? What is our procedure?
Any member of the board can bring an item to be voted on during a meeting, but the law requires that you publish to the public an agenda. Mm-hmm. And so there should be a timetable. Have an opportunity to opine on it, and then the board can then take that matter up. So whatever your deadline is for getting the agenda together to publish it, if appropriate notice legally, that's where you can place that item on the agenda to act.
Okay, I have that straight. Okay, in this case, let's use this. Mr. Stroder's name was brought to us to be voted upon, but it was not discussed with the board members prior to that night of being voted on. We were given a name. Let me tell you what my problem was, or is, and I just want to be accurate. From this day forward, I read where a person was left in charge by the superintendent because she was on leave.
no time had anybody come and say, Ms. Joseph, we are considering this person or these people to be our acting superintendent. But the night that this happened, we were given a name by our president and say, this is who we're voting on, whether or not this person is going to be our acting superintendent. So I'm asking, what's the proper procedure? That's my question. And getting a person that you want or would like to be in position to get a job for us to vote on. What is the proper procedure?
So, that's a complicated question from the standpoint of what position is it that you're trying to...
The acting superintendent.
So in this instance, if it was placed on the agenda... If it was timely placed on the agenda and you acted upon it, then that action, however you voted, up or down, is what policy is of the board. If you want to place an item on the agenda that you have concerns about, you have to properly notice it, okay, put it on the agenda, and then it has to be dealt with because the public has been notified and the board members have been notified.
Okay, that didn't happen. So that's where we are. And I guess that's why my question came up. I don't know what her reason was, but anyway, so that did not happen. So now what?
If you want to bring the item back up again, you have to place it on the agenda.
Okay.
It needs to be noticed and put on the agenda.
But the normal thing to do would be?
Notice it and put it on the
okay.
agenda.
Okay. That's what I need to know.
That makes sense?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any comments from any other school board member? Hearing, okay. Mrs. Perkins?
I do have a question in reference to what board member Joseph just said. Shouldn't there have been a special meeting in reference to appointing a superintendent to discuss it with the board members before? Was that right? You're the attorney, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
But so I don't know what your policies and procedures were to do that, though. And I stand by this, though. In order for this board to consider any item legally, it needs to be placed on your agenda.
Okay.
And you need to notice the public, and you need to notice your other board members, and then you're fully capable and able to discuss it, to act on it, to vote it up, vote it down, to defer it, or even to table it. But it has to be a properly placed item on the agenda.
And I understand what you're saying, but I think that the attorneys should have told us that. We should have been informed before it transpired in reference to it just popping up on the agenda at the last minute that we knew nothing about. That's my thing.
The attorneys don't set the agenda.
I know.
Yeah.
But it should have been discussed with the president and the attorneys so it could have been brought to the board members. That's my thing.
That's another question.
Okay.
Her statement was it should have been discussed. How do we? An item can go on the agenda by any board member or if you request it. So that's a done deal. And once it's on the agenda, then we can vote on it.
You can discuss okay. it and vote.
And discuss it and vote. Hold on. Okay.
And the public always has a right to comment on it before you take a vote.
I'm going to say something.
Okay. May I say something? I thought maybe, no, because it have never been on the agenda. Let's get that straight. It has never been on the agenda for Mr. Stroder to be as an acting superintendent. But he was right up under Superintendent Diet, correct, Perry? So it's like a president and vice president. When the superintendent is absent, he's to take that role up, correct?
Not necessarily.
Well, I'm just asking.
I'm asking you.
I'm talking to the attorney.
And that depends on your structure, though. So if your rules say that in the absence of a superintendent, that position that he was holding acts as superintendent, that's perfectly fine.
Because that's what I'm saying. It's like the president and the vice president. When the president is not able to take that role, the vice president can step in, correct? So I'm saying, like, Superintendent Perry and Stroder, because he was up under the, he was right up under Perry, Dr. Perry. So up under her absence, I would think he can go ahead and take the role. And like they said, to vote him in or whatever, if we have to put it on the agenda, to vote him in as acting superintendent.
This is the agenda from last month's board meeting.
Thank you.
Yep. Item 18 was appointment of acting superintendent for the City of Baker School System. Action.
It's not about the item being on there or not. It was about the process of how did the name come about to get on it in the first place. That was my question.
And I can definitely understand.
And I'm not against Mr. Stroder, and Mr. Stroder knows that. But I want the process and the procedure followed, and it was not followed. That's my point.
I understand.
So from this night forward, please, let's follow procedure. That's all I'm asking.
I understand. And that item was on the agenda, as Mr. Stroder just indicated. And on a motion of Mrs. Proffitt, second by Ms. Butler, the board voted to appoint Mr. Stroder as acting superintendent of the City of Baker School Board. Here are the minutes. Voting yes, Proffitt, Butler, and Burgess. Voting no, and abstaining was Mrs. Perkins, and voting no was Mrs. Joseph. So if there are no more questions about that, we're going to move on.
No, I want to be clear.
Yes, ma'am.
I want it clear.
Yeah, we got
I did
you.
Vote no. I'm not against Mr. Stroder, and I'm going to say that again. It's the process and the procedure of how did the name come about. We are avoiding the question. You brought the name. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, ma'am.
And you should have discussed it with all of us. And you did not.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Thank you.
Can I just like to second that we need to do things decent and in order, you know, because it's not right to just put something. We have 5 members on this board, and all of them need to be respected. Thank you.
Mrs. Joseph and Mrs. Perkins, moving forward, that will be the case. But as the attorney just said, you too, any board member, can recommend anything to go on the agenda. And that was a time allowance, that was a timetable situation with what happened with the previous superintendent. Make sure that our district, our teachers had their pay, we had to change signatures. So that was a time thing, and that was the most important thing. So moving on, are there, hearing no other comments from the public or any other school board members, may I get a motion for the approval? Excuse me?
You said time sensitive. That's not true either, because I gave you 2 items to go on the agenda before, and it was weeks before the board meeting, and not one item went on the board. So let's be truthful tonight, too.
The items did not go on the agenda, Mrs. Joseph, simply because they were more fitting for the work session to be discussed, because we had to move so quickly making this decision.
You made the choice for them not to go on there. Let's be honest.
Yes, I did. So. Yes, I did. And as president of the board, you have that allowance to decide what goes on the agenda.
By whose standard?
You know. So it's in the policies.
I need to see it.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. May I get a motion for the approval of the minutes for school board meeting on March 14th, 2023?
I motion that for the approval of the minutes for the school board meeting March 14th, 2023.
May I get a second? Okay, since we do not have a second, the motion fails, and this will be brought up again at the next meeting. Is that true? Is that how it goes? Okay. Yes, ma'am. In 60 days. Okay, the next agenda item. One moment. Consideration and acceptance of monthly financial report, including budget to actual comparisons for the period ending February 28th, 2023.
Madam President, Madam Vice President, members of the board, Acting Superintendent Mr. Stroder, everyone in this assembly, in your packet you have the financial report for period ending February 28th, including budget to actual comparisons. Looking at your general fund, year-to-date revenue, $8,918,117.32. Expenditures, total instructional expenditures, $3,041,973.64. Total support services, $3,722,738.89. You have debt service, $525,873.88. That is the loan. We completed the process of paying that loan for this fiscal year in the amount of $525,873.88. We have an excess of revenues over expenditures of $1,579,648.72. On page two, your capital projects, which is your Baker High School restoration project. As you can see, we've drawn down $4,172,371.79 of the loan. Have total revenues, which is that $4,172,371.79. Expenditures, $4,684,918.05. Okay, page three, your special revenue funds. These are your grant revenues. Year-to-date revenues, $2,279,032.45. Year-to-date expenditures, $3,220,779.45. We have receivables as of March 30th, 2023 of $942,982.36. We have actually an excess of revenues of $1,245.36. And we also, remember last month, we added an encumbrance column, which shows you that these are the encumbrances for those grants, meaning we are ordering supplies to draw down those funds for those grants. So we have encumbrances year-to-date as of February 28, 2023, of $712,366.25. And once those supplies come in, then that encumbrance will move to an expenditure. And you will see that on the expenditure column. Are there any questions?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
In reference to, you say we have an excess of $1,245.36?
Yes, ma'am. That's overall.
Okay, so this excess, can you explain why we have all the deficits on the budget in the red?
Because your special revenue funds are grant, meaning you have to expend the funds first, and then we request reimbursement. So you're always going to see a deficit when it comes to special revenue funds. And when we spend them, we make the expenditure, and then we request reimbursement. And so the only way that we will not see a deficit is if we, when as soon as we make that expenditure, we request reimbursement and the State Department pay us like that. And it doesn't work that way. They don't, the turnover, the turnaround time is not instant. Sometimes it could be a month, sometimes 2 months. Sometimes it could be a day or two. So it's kind of sporadic. Yes, ma'am.
I see what you're saying. It just looks bad.
Yes,
with
ma'am.
The deficits, all these.
Yeah, I understand. That's why we added the receivable column. So it shows when you look at the receivable column, that's where we made reimbursement requests on to clear up those deficits. So if you would look at your adjusted excess, and deficiency, you will see most of those deficits are gone because we made those reimbursements.
Exactly.
Are there any other questions?
When the deficits are there, the reimbursement notification is usually in process, correct?
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
So, I mean, that's just kind of the way accounting
and at
is.
At the end of the fiscal year, we make requests, and we request all our final reimbursements. And
right.
So you will see, like, a deficit, but also that's when we book our receivables on the book. And
right.
That would clear up all your deficits, and you will see an excess or a deficiency of zero.
Exactly.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other comments from board members? Any comments? I think Ms. Sharonda? Shahonda? It's hard to read.
My name is Coronda Corley.
Corley, okay.
C-O-R-L-E-Y is the last name. First name, C-O-R-H, as in heaven, O-E-N-D-A. Parent and Disabilities Advocate nationally. My child is a self-advocate in training.
Thank you, Ms. Corley.
You're welcome. So my 3 minutes start now. So, as we talk about the consideration and acceptance of this monthly financial report, I notice that you don't have the funding that you receive, that every school system received for cameras and special ed self-contained classrooms. That's money that every school system received. I know because it's my law. And every school system received it courtesy of LDOE. That money is supposed to be listed on your budget. And you are only to use that money for children in self-contained classrooms. It's not in this report. Second, what is not in this report, because the public can't see it, so that's this is an ADA violation, because the public can't see it because it's too small, and that's what I was trying to get your attorney to understand, who couldn't read my lips. That's a problem when you have funding that is not being reflected. So how much money are the three charter schools that are lying within Baker city limits are actually receiving funding from the school system? Every charter receives money from the school system in which they lie in. And so that is something that is also supposed to be reflected in your expenditure report. That is money that Baker is actually giving to each and every charter in this system. It's not reflected in your monthly report, which means your monthly report is not accurate. So no, you cannot approve an inaccurate monthly report. Why? Because that means you are now falsifying information to the public and you're not being transparent. So when you're not being transparent, that means that every single person here can legally come after each board member. And Ms. Burgess, I don't think that you want a lawsuit, especially from me. So what I am advising for you to do, because your attorney could not legally answer the questions for you, I do advise that you actually get a CPA involved and you actually provide the public a real true expenditure report and put it on your actual website. Also, just like you have these agendas put on the table, put that expenditure report, that monthly report, on the table too. Be extremely transparent. Or if the next people they be recalling, it will next be you. Thank you.
Sorry. May I get a motion to accept the monthly financial report, including budget to actual comparisons, for the period ending February 28th, 2023?
I motion for consideration and acceptance of the monthly financial report, including budget and actual comparisons, for the period ending February 28th, 2023.
May I get a second? Okay, seeing there's no second, we will put this report off until the time allowed to review it again. All righty, the next agenda item is consideration and approval. Excuse me. Consideration and approval of the City of Baker School System calendar for for the 2023-2024 school year. Are there any public comments? Ms. Corley?
The name is Karonda Corley, parent and disabilities advocate, current self-advocate in training. I think that whenever you create a calendar for the school system that you need to reflect professional development days for your staff. When you talk about recruitment and retention of staff in the school system, you need to reflect the professional development days. Because when you're asking the staff to actually come in on some of these other random days that you throw at them, you're not taking into consideration that they may have families too. A lot of your staff actually take care of their family members, parents, children, etc. So when you're asking for the staff to have professional development days, that should be added on your calendar. So when you put a calendar together, you need to be mindful of every single person, unless your goal is not to have any staff. Now, when you talk about the families and these parents, exactly when do you plan on giving the parents the actual calendar? Are you planning on waiting until the first day of school? Or are you going to, once you give it to them on the first day of school, are you planning on changing it 2 months later? See, I think that you may be trying to get a little ahead of what you actually think, and you may should wait until legislative session ends. This legislative session starts April 10th, and it's going to go across 60 days, but it's actually supposed to last 45. You may want to wait to see what bills and what actually pass into law before you actually approve your calendar, because it may be something that is legislatively proposed that may impact and affect your calendar in a negative way. And the last thing you want to do is be bringing it back before everyone here saying, oh, we wasn't told, because you now have been told and put on notice. Thank you.
Mr. Grisby, would you, just to engage that, would you have something to add to that?
Good evening, everyone. To address some of the questions that Ms. Corley said, if you look at your calendar, there are four professional development days, all-day PD days during the year. There are three at the beginning of the year, and coming back from the Christmas/winter break, there are two before the students return. So that addresses the PD days. Generally, I guess my response to the last thing that she said, and it is a valid point, the legislature can and does sometimes do things that are that affect the calendar for the next year, and that is an accurate statement. The general rule of thumb, though, is to give, most districts pass their calendars in March and April. And generally, those 12 regions that Mr. Stroder talked about, that's generally kind of the way that it's done. But you do bring a valid point that it some things may happen that you have to come back and revisit something. But people, and to address the question about when does it go out, generally as soon as this body, if it passes the calendar, it goes out the very, very next day. So people can then govern their lives and their families and things like that.
Okay. Thank you very much. May I get a motion?
My comment is I would not be able to approve the calendar because it was given to me when I walked in this evening and I hadn't had a chance to look at it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. May I have a motion to approve the consideration and approval of the City of Baker school system calendar for the 2023-2024 school year?
I make a motion that we approve the calendar for the 23 school year with the necessary changes made.
May I get a second?
I second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mrs. Joseph and a second by Ms. Butler. The board will now vote on approving the consideration and approval of the City of Baker School System calendar for the 2023-2024 school year with necessary changes. Mrs. Perkins?
No.
Mrs. Joseph? Ms. Butler?
Yes.
Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for the consideration and approval of the City of Baker school calendar for the 2023-2024 school year with changes. The next agenda item is consideration and approval of a request for bids on food service large equipment using ESSER funds. Ms. Sibley.
Good evening, everyone. The last board meeting, there was a question for the year-to-date expenditures for food service products and supplies by Ms. Perkins, and I just wanted to give her that number. It's $235,379.26. Those are the expenditures that we have occurred year-to-date, school food service. At the bottom of your chart, in reference to the consideration of approval for the request to do the bid using ESSER funds, during the board retreat, I shared with you guys a presentation on how we need to update our school cafeterias with furniture and equipment, because a lot of it is really old and outdated. And we want to do that through the use of the ESSER funds, ESSER 2 and ESSER 3. We have a total of $225,000, in which we've already spent $54,000. And so we just want to go ahead and do the bid to do the rest of the equipment and furniture. And I want to also like to thank some of our child nutrition program employees that we have in the audience. I'm glad they showed up. I've been trying to get them to come. We have Ms. Turner, Baker Mill. Ms. Turner, can I get you to say hello? And
hi.
And some of her staff from Baker Heights Elementary School. I just wanted to
thank you, ladies, for serving our children.
Yes, ma'am.
Are there any comments from any school board member?
Will this complete what we need for the cafeteria in terms of furniture and other items?
It'll start. ESSER 2, we have to spend those funds by September this year. ESSER 3, we have to next year to spend the funds. And so we're going to spend them all, get our cafeterias updated, you know, for our students. They're a little outdated right now. And so we want to get the equipment for our students and staff. I'm sorry. And so we want to upgrade our equipment and, you know, some of the tables in the cafeterias. We want to make them for our students to go in and participate in our child nutrition program.
So when we come in to eat, we'll be able to do it.
I'm sorry,
so when we come in visiting, we'll be able to eat.
Oh, yeah.
In
well,
a nice environment.
We can eat now. I just would like
just
them
teased.
To, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much for your report.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
We have a public comment by Ms. Emery.
Good evening.
Hello.
I'm Shaderick Emery. So my comment is about the equipment. They want new equipment, but they are serving outdated food. I was on a field trip last week, and they were shoving out stale snacks. So I think they need to work on that, too. I don't know how does that apply, but they need to work on that, too.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other comments? Hearing no comments from the public or other school board members, may I get a motion for the consideration and approval of a request for bids on food service large equipment using ESSER funds? I get a motion?
Approve the consideration of a bid for Baker food service equipment.
Thank you. May I get a second?
I second it, but I'd also like to make the statement, please check the expiration date on the food so we don't do that in the future. Thank you.
I have a motion by Mrs. Joseph.
I just wanted to say I this is my first time hearing this, but I will find out what's going on once I find out what school we're speaking of.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to say something. We're all here in the city of Baker. We're all stakeholders and investors. None of us is perfect. So therefore, this public discourse is necessary. No matter how it comes out, no matter whose names are called, this is necessary because this is how success happens. And it's okay to hear things that you may not want to necessarily hear or to have your name called. No one's offended. We're all loving each other here, so it's okay. I just want you to know that. It's okay. I would like to call for the vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for the consideration and approval of a request for bids on food service large equipment using ESSER funds. Next, agenda item, consideration and approval of an out-of-state field trip to Houston, Texas by Baker Middle School. Is someone here to talk about that or to explain?
No, but there's information in your packet about what the itinerary looks like, where they're going.
Okay.
And I believe they want to take this trip on, what was the date? May 10th.
May 10th. And what exactly is it for again?
It's just a trip to Johnson Space Center to actually see what's...
Okay.
Yeah, what's happening? Are you on this trip, Mr. Williams? Yeah, do you want to talk? Do you want to talk at all about it?
Would you mind?
Good evening, Tori Williams. This is a trip meant for the eighth grade students. Houston and all the eighth grade students are enrolled in the STEM program, so we thought as an incentive for the eighth grade students, it would be good for them to see the Space Center in Houston to link up with our STEM curriculum.
Very good. Thank you very much. And I do have a comment from... Comment, Mrs. Corley.
Karonda Corley, parent and disabilities advocate. Corinth Corley, self-advocate. When you have field trips, I want everyone to keep in mind that whenever he said eighth grade, I'm sure you have children with disabilities in eighth grade, children that have IEPs or 504 plans. When you take a child with a disability on a field trip, you need to make sure that you have the necessary people with them. For example, let me use my child. If he was to go on a field trip with his school, they have to have the nurses present because he have epilepsy, which this is Epilepsy Awareness Month. So he has epilepsy, as well as he has a rare form of microchromosomal duplication. He's severely allergic to milk and soy, which requires for him to have to be administered an EpiPen, as well as he has to have his liquids nectar thick consistent. So when you have people with disabilities that are present on any field trip, you want to make sure that you know every single thing about them and have those people present. In addition to that, since we talked about behavior, you want to make sure that you have a right adult-student ratio for chaperones. Because far too many times, people take children out of town, other people's children, and they lose them. Why they have something that ends up occurring that the school board did not consider as a legal liability. I'm all for children going on field trips. I took my child, he was the only child with a disability, in Selma for the Selma Jubilee. But that wasn't courtesy of the school system. That was courtesy of me. So I do think that children need to have exposure, but I do think that you have a legal liability right to make sure that you do that responsibly. And if you can't make sure that you have all of your ducks in a row, then you cannot do that field trip. So I'm just asking that you do your due diligence and your and that you are extremely prudent about making sure that you have everything spelled out when it comes to the field trip, including ADA accommodations. Just like I have my child here with headphones, some of your children may need sensory items there too. So I do think that you need to be very mindful of the environment that you're taking them into, but you also need to make sure that you know every single thing about them, because some parents do not know that they should tell you that their child is taking medication at home if the school system is not giving it to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Kane.
Yes, ma'am. Principal of Baker Middle School. We have 30 students that are going. We have 5 adults chaperoning, and it is for incentive for those 8th grade students. We have 6th and 7th grade trips also, but those will be in Louisiana. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comments from school board members? May I get a motion for the approval and consideration of an out-of-state field trip to Houston, Texas by Baker Middle School?
I make a motion that we approve the consideration and approval of the field trip to Houston for the students of Baker.
Second? Okay. I have a motion for the approval of the out-of-state field trip to Houston, Texas for Baker Middle School by Mrs. Joseph, and a second by Mrs. Perkins. We'll call for the vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet, absent. Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for the consideration and approval of an out-of-state field trip by Houston Tech. Field trip to Houston, Texas by Baker High School. Baker Middle School. Consideration and approval of donation of printers by ExxonMobil. The next agenda item. Are there any comments from school board members? Mr. Stroder, do you have anything to contribute to that?
Is Mr. Craig still here? Are they still sitting out here? We moved them. So these are two really big printers that ExxonMobil donated, and the high school said that they would like one, and Baker Heights said that they would like the other one. So ExxonMobil was glad to donate them.
Righty. Okay. Mrs. Corley.
Okay, Karonda Corley, parent and disabilities advocate, and Corinth Corley, self-advocate. I think it is extremely wonderful that ExxonMobil, a multi-billion dollar company, is donating only 2 printers to Baker school system. I think it's wonderful. I think that it's a crying shame that there is only 2, but I guess whatever you can get from them, it should be a blessing, right? So what I do think that Baker's school system should look at is how many students we have in Baker's school system that may have parents, family members that currently work at any of their facilities, ExxonMobil, Shell Motiva, Georgia Pacific, and actually see about having them volunteer at the school. Because whenever one of those staff members or retirees that retired from there volunteer, that's money that actually comes into the school system. So that is something that I just wanted to make a point about. It is a slap in the face for ExxonMobil, a multi-billion dollar company that just had an ITEP exemption of over $400 million to actually only give two printers. But I am saying that I think that you should utilize something that they don't talk about or promote, and that is having their staff that are still currently employed and those that are retired to actually volunteer within your schools so that you can actually receive funding. And it is $1,500 per person that volunteer, regardless of if they're there 5 minutes or 5 hours.
Thank you, Ms. Corley. And in support of your saying that, that is something that we are definitely on, especially where employees are concerned. Okay. Any other comments from board members? Hearing no other comments, I would like to ask for a motion for the consideration and approval of donation of printers from ExxonMobil.
Approval of the consideration and approval of donation printers by ExxonMobil.
May I get a second?
Second.
Thank you. A motion for consideration and approval of donation of printers by ExxonMobil by Ms. Butler, and a second by Mrs. Joseph. Call for the vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Ms. Prophet absent. Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for the consideration and approval of donation of printers by ExxonMobil. The next date of our school board meeting will be May 2nd, 2023. These school board members will do a walkthrough of the construction site April 13th, 2023 at 10 o'clock a.m. Superintendent's report. Acting superintendent's report.
Yes, I wanted to clarify that I am the acting superintendent. I'm not the interim superintendent, and I have not signed any contracts with the district for interim position. The only thing I have to report is that we met with Marine JROTC representative last week. It was a really good meeting. His recommendation to us, we really want to take a look at bringing ROTC into Baker High School. And his recommendation to us was to send applications to all of the branches. We're currently collecting information for the Marine application, the Army application, and the Coast Guard application. So I think Dr. Russell's in the process of doing a survey to see how many students we might have that are interested in ROTC. And so hopefully we'll have enough that are interested and we can get these applications submitted.
Thank you, Mr. Stroder. And once again, we're all stakeholders here, and we all have to find a way to work together as a collective body, because I know we all want what is good for the City of Baker school system. And having said that,
I have a request before we
finish.
I'd like to read some information into the record for Mr. Stroder in reference to the students.
Sure.
Thank you. This is for the next meeting. Can you provide the following? Dynamic indicators of basic early literacy skills, that's DIBELS, performance by school grade level and performance band. Include the plan for progress monitoring and intervention for each of the elementary schools where a large number of students are functioning below and real below on Dibbles. What intervention program are you using to support these students? What is the total number of students in grades 4 through 12 who are not reading on grade level? What diagnostic data do you have on these students, and what is the district currently doing to address the students who are not reading on grade level? What interventions are used to support these students? And the last one is, what additional professional development are teachers and principals receiving to support literacy in the classrooms of their respective schools? Thank you. I would like a report on this on the next meeting, because it's all about the children. Thank you.
You want it for the next meeting?
For the next
meeting. For that date? You want it on that date, the exact
For the next date? School board meeting.
Okay. All right.
The report.
Gotcha.
In reference to these questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, may I get a motion for the adjournment of the meeting?
I motion that the meeting is adjourned.
May I get a second?
Second.
Okay, the board will vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet absent. Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess, yes. The motion carries. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for attending.
Oh, this can be a short meeting, huh? Are you going back to the hospital tonight? Okay, good. I will call you.